So I have to tell you that as I was preparing for worship today, I was very tempted to pick a different scripture passage for today. As a young preacher, I always want to give you something that's like new and insightful and you haven't ever heard it before. And I thought to myself, okay, Matthew 25 scripture, mission trip, this seems very straightforward. Maybe I should do something a little more surprising and give them new thoughts. But as I kept circling back to this scripture, because it was, after all, the theme scripture for the family mission trip, I just found myself with a renewed appreciation for why this scripture is so well loved in the first place. I came to a renewed appreciation for why the scripture is always at the heart of who we are and what we do as people called Methodists and as people whose mission is to love and to serve and to follow. And so I thought I would just share with you my renewed sense of why this is such a meaningful scripture, of why the scripture is important, why it is that we keep circling back to this scripture in Matthew 25. I think there's two main reasons why. The first is pretty simple. It's the basics of why we do what we do in church missions. And it's this. It's that this scripture reminds us to love everyone the way we love Jesus. Just love everyone the way we love Jesus. In this passage, Jesus reminds us, whenever you look at someone, anyone, remember that they are made, as it says in Genesis 1, they are made in the image of God. Remember that whoever you're looking at, that person has the God spark in them, that beautiful creativity and potential and vibrancy that can only come from our Creator. And so I'm going to pause here for a minute. I've been in participatory worship all week at annual conference, so we're going to ask you to participate here for a moment. More audience participation. I would love for you to turn to someone near you and tell them you are made in the image of God. Would you do that? You all sound very somber. Please turn to someone else and with joy tell them you are made in the image of God. Would you turn to someone else and tell them you are made in the image of God? Amen. I hope that we can always keep reminding each other of that and remembering that about one another. Each one of us is made in the image of God, and so is everyone else. And thank God for that. And so in this passage, Jesus gives us what I like to think of as the platinum rule. You know, you've heard of the golden rule. I don't know if there's a silver rule, but you've heard of the golden rule, right? What's the golden rule? Yes, that's a very lovely way of saying it. I don't know why in my brain, I always just remember to treat people the way you want to be treated. Maybe that's the more casual way of saying the same thing, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus here gives us a platinum rule. He upgrades it a little bit, gives us a higher bar to meet. And he says, don't just treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat people the way you would treat Jesus. Think about that. What does that actually look like? I want you to imagine for a moment whatever place it is that you spend the most time during the day every week. Maybe it's your living room. Maybe it's an office or a desk. Maybe it's your kitchen. Maybe it's a classroom and you have to sit and study. I don't know where you spend most of your time during the day. Maybe you have to be on the road most of the day, so you're in your car a lot. Imagine that place that you spend most of your time. And now, what would you do if Jesus walked into that place? And you were in that place one day and Jesus just walked in, knocked on the door and said, "Hi, can I come in?" What would you do next? What would your next step be? I really hope that you would roll out the red carpet for him. I hope we would all roll out the red carpet, that we would stop what we're doing. We'd stop our chores. We'd set aside our books. We'd put our phones down, and we'd pay attention to Jesus. I hope that if Jesus showed up, that we would say, "Oh, please, here, have this nice, comfortable place to sit, and can I get you something to eat and to drink?" And I bet we'd sit, and we'd talk with him, we'd listen to him and what he has to say, and we'd share our hearts with him, and we just have that focused attention on him, that time with him, if he showed up. That's the way I think that we might treat Jesus. And so then the platinum rule means that when we think of how we treat Jesus, This story calls us to treat all people that way, with that same level of attention and care and pausing just to make sure that person knows you are paying attention just to them and that they are loved and that they belong right there. Treat everyone the way you would treat Jesus. This scripture reminds us to love everyone the way we would love Jesus. But it also leads us to a second reason, because that first lesson is not just a mission trip lesson. We often read this scripture when we talk about mission trips and going out and serving out in the world. But this is not just a mission trip scripture, right? This is not just a Sunday morning scripture or a you happen to work at church kind of scripture. This is an every single day piece of scripture. This scripture reminds us, our second point, that we need to keep looking for Jesus in every single person that we meet. We need to look for Jesus. Our kids did such a great job of looking for God everywhere. Did you notice that in their video? That they did such a great job of naming where they saw God. They saw God in the people who played games with them. I think we should play games with our guests at Winter Relief, because those kids sat down and just had a great time learning checkers from some of the guests at Charlie's Place. They saw God in those guests who played games with them. They saw God in the people who received the food that they were serving. They saw God in the people who were leading the ministries, like the woman who used to be homeless and having gotten out of it has now turned around and started helping other people who are homeless. They saw God every morning and every afternoon, and whenever they did their best to love each person the way that they love God. That's a great way to shape a mission trip. But this scripture reminds us that that's not just about the mission trip. It's not just about when you are on the trip or here at church. It's about when we go home for church. And we go in our everyday lives, and we need to keep looking for Jesus everywhere that we go. You know, some of you may work or commute or drive through Baltimore City quite often, and maybe you see communities that are really similar to where our kids were serving during their trip. Maybe you do often go into communities where you see people who don't have somewhere to live and don't have enough to eat. But I suspect there's some of us that we really don't see that very often. And so it might be easy to think, well, I don't really see hungry people in Severna Park, and I don't really see homeless people in Severna Park, so I don't really know how this applies in our community. But I bet that every day, even if it's true that you don't run into someone who literally is hungry or without a home, I bet that every day you run into someone who is hungering for something. Someone who needs something, who is longing for grace or for love, or who needs a home in some way, who needs a sense that they belong, that they are welcome, that they are accepted. I bet that you stumble across every day people who are hungry and homeless in some manner, and I bet you have something that you can give them. I bet you have some way that you could show them that Jesus kind of love. You could look them in the eye and say, essentially, through your actions, you matter. You are a whole human made in the image of God, and I'm here for you. Just after our family mission trip, Erica was sharing stories of the weekend with me, and she was telling me about the different activities they did, and she was telling me more about the outreach run that they did on Sunday afternoon. This was the activity that they were talking about, where they packed bagged lunches and then they went out into DuPont Circle and just walked around and handed them out to folks who might need the food. And so, I don't know about you, but this sounds like a really nice thing to do, but also a really daunting thing to do. I don't know about you, but if I were in that circumstance, I might pack these lunches and say, okay, I'm ready to be generous and kind, but I don't know what to say to people. I don't know how to approach people, you know? And so Erica was telling me about how the leader of the mission they were working with demonstrated a way to approach people and show them hospitality. Without making any assumptions, the leader demonstrated this and walked over to a small group of people sitting in the park in DuPont Circle, and she just said, "Hi, friends. We have some extra food here. Is anyone hungry?" Don't you love that? It's just calm. Open. We have some extra food here. Is anyone hungry? You notice there's no assumptions there, right? There's no, well, which one of you is homeless? No questions of who can afford what. Just a simple offer of relationship, a simple offer of generosity, a simple offer of welcomeness and home. A simple offer out of abundance. We have some extra. Is anyone hungry? So simple, but so profound. Friends, this is the question that Jesus asks us each time we come to this table. Each time we come to this table, Jesus is here at this table saying to us, hey, I have some extra. Is anyone here hungry? I have some extra grace to give. I have some extra love to pour out. I have some extra peace that can transform your life. And I would love to feed you. Is anyone hungry? That's the invitation here at this table. Is anyone hungry? I wonder if anyone here is hungry for something that Jesus can give, for something that you can find here at the communion table where all are welcome and all can be fed. My prayer this day as we gather for Holy Communion is that you might be filled up with whatever it is you are longing for. I want you to be so filled up that you are overflowing and ready to go out and pour out of your abundance the extra love and grace and peace that you have received through Jesus. And so I hope that this day, as you come with whatever emptiness you have, whatever hunger you have, my prayer is that as you receive the bread and the cup, that you would also receive what you need so that Jesus might fill you up to overflowing and you might show the love of Christ to all who you meet. Thanks be to God. Amen.